Before we go to any comments, can we introduce ourselves?
Okay. Chairperson. I am the owner of introducing our team, and we're very excited that finally we have our commissioner. And some of them are here with us today. On my right, I have the pleasure of introducing Commissioner Nomboni Fogasa, Reverend Bafana Khumalo, Roshida Chabodin, and our CEO, Kana Majake, and on the right there is our CFO, Gottfried Kruger. Next to him is the head of our research department, Dr. Marietta Duval. And right at the end is our head of legal, Mavis Monama. And our parliamentary officer, Kim. I call him Kim because his name is so difficult. Kim, could you just give us your full name because we're so used to this abbreviation?
Certainly, Madam Chair. My full surname is Anirudra, and I don't mind being called Kim. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome everyone. And we are going to give this opportunity to the other members of the committee, except myself and the Chairperson, to introduce themselves.
Good morning, I'm Dan Temple, I'm a member of the committee. And I'm very pleased to see you all here in full force. We've been fighting to get you back on the track.
I'm Colleen Zigerlal, a member of the committee. It is a pleasure to be to bring you to along with us today. Thank you. And some of the people who are sitting around me, I don't know why today, you know, they don't want to be such a person.
My name is Robo Kutora, and I'm from the ethical sector of the
government. And I'm Caroline Christopher from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
We have received all your documents, we have received the reports, we have gone through all the reports that came back as a couple. I just want you to pardon the other members who are supposed to be here. For instance, we've got about 4 apologies here of people who are off sick. They are sick, they can't even go back to their provinces, they are here in Queenstown. And today we've got a 3-line week in Parliament, in the National Assembly, and
my children coming in to the center because they are not sure that was the student currently because I'm feeling yesterday. So we're going to continue. On our agenda we have the CPE that will be giving us the financial statement. Here we have 2006 on the day for 2005, 2006, now we are in 2007. And I see a the budget report already. I don't know who's going to start. I might have to tell you who's going to start the business.
Yes, sir. Honorable Chairperson and members of your esteemed committee, I'd like to give just a brief overview before I hand over to the CEO to give the rest of the budget report. We have come a long way. The establishment and institutionalization of the gender machinery in South Africa over the past decade bears testimony of the dedication and advocacy over many decades of many people in this room. It is indeed an honor for me to make this presentation to colleagues in the Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women as our partner in the gender machinery. We were requested to present to you an overview of the activities and financial reports of the Commission on Gender Equality for the period 2006 to 2007, together with the strategic plan for the coming year. These documents have already been presented at the budget hearing of the Justice Portfolio Committee. As the Commissioner's term of office has just commenced, the strat plan documents still have to be deliberated with the Commissioner for their input. Before I request the CEO, Ms. Kana Majake, to present the report, please allow me to highlight a few milestones that illustrates the road we have traveled. Securing the entrenchment of gender equality in the Constitution of South Africa and the state's commitment to international, regional, and sub-regional instruments have been major achievements of advocacy for gender equality and the empowerment of women. The establishment of appropriate institutional mechanisms or gender machinery can be traced to direction given at the Beijing World Conference. The Beijing Platform for Action, which was endorsed by the South African government, committed the South African government to, one, create national machinery at the highest level of government for the advancement of women, two, to give this machinery a clearly defined mandate and authority, thirdly, to provide the machinery with adequate resources, lastly, to ensure the ability and competence of this machinery to influence policies and to formulate and review legislation. These were the requirements, Chairperson. And I think time has come for us now to look back to see whether we have been able to carry out these objectives and to see what were the challenges of the gender, of the national gender machinery. Since this time, South Africa has developed a comprehensive gender machinery in which the CGE, alongside with the OSW and the JMC, are key structures. The Commission for Gender Equality was established as an independent statutory body in terms of Section 187, Chapter 9 of the Constitution of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996. The CGE as an institution established to strengthen constitutional democracy is mandated to promote respect for gender equality and the protection, development and attainment of gender equality. The powers and functions of the CGE are detailed in the Commission on Gender Equality Act number 38-39, and in terms of section 11, paragraph 1, the CGE must inter area monitor and evaluate policies and practices of organs of state at any level, statutory bodies and functionaries, public bodies and authorities and private businesses, enterprises and institutions in order to promote gender equality and make any recommendations that the Commission deems necessary. Also applicable to the Commission on Gender Equality as a national institutional institute supporting constitutional democracy in terms of the principles relating to the status of national institutions, that is the Paris Principles, as adopted by the General Assembly of 20 December 1993, are the various principles espoused in relation to national institutions supporting and promoting human rights. Central to these is that such national institutions shall be vested with competence to promote and protect human rights, be given as broad a mandate as possible, and that the principle of independence is guaranteed. The Commission on Gender Equality as a Chapter 9 institution is also based on this principle, which includes the mandate to report to the UN or regional treaty bodies on the status of human rights as independent national institutions of human rights. South Africa's National Policy Framework for Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality describes the structure and components of the institutional framework for mainstreaming of gender through the gender machinery. The gender policy framework captures this specific function of the CGE in the description of key institutional processes, namely the advancement of the empowerment of women and gender equality, and monitoring the effectiveness of departmental policies on gender equality and liaise with parliamentary committees, the JMC, and monitor the implementation of the policy framework. So the specification of the role of the CGE within the gender machinery resonates with the Paris Principles for National Institutions, where it states that national institutions shall maintain consultation with the other bodies, whether jurisdictional or otherwise, responsible for the promotion and protection of human rights, in particular ombudsmen, mediators, and similar organizations, and develop relations with the non-governmental organizations devoted to promotion and promote and protecting human rights. So it was on this line that the CGE, when we had to go to the CSW meeting in the United Nations Chairperson, where we felt that we should really make a special presentation at the UN in order to look at the national gender standards, the objectives that were described before, and how we have fulfilled some of those objectives. At the beginning of 2007, for the first time since the advent of our country's newfound democracy, Parliament introduced the process to review all Chapter 9 bodies that support democracy. For our part, the CPE has welcomed the initiative, which we believe will inform how we strengthen our country's democratic processes and practices, also through the gender machinery. We have given our input to the ad hoc committee set up to undertake this enormous task. As we navigate our way in a field of democratic change, we hope that the ad hoc committee receives and will consider our submission in a constructive manner. We now look forward to its insightful outcomes and stand ready to shift gears where such recommendations are made. in the end, we hope that the ad hoc committee will ensure the independence, impartiality, and effectiveness of the Commission on Gender Equality to exercise its powers and perform its functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. The CBE remains strongly committed to strengthening South Africa's gender machinery, and we have embarked on a number of initiatives in this regard. Along with South Africa's permanent mission to the United Nations, the CGE drove the planning and co-hosting of a successful workshop earlier this year at the United Nations. The workshop was designed to run concurrently with a conference on the UN Committee on the Status of Women. It drew a kaleidoscope of participants to consider South Africa's experience in the quest to the strengthening of institutional mechanisms for the eradication of prejudice, stereotypes, and gender-based discrimination, and to also probe the advancement of women and gender equality. Our country was commended for its advanced progress in this area, and in particular for creating and facilitating such an international dialogue. The CGE believes that an integrated package of institutions is necessary to deal with the many and complex human rights issues of women and girls. Global best practice has shown that a comprehensive national gender machinery is essential to a democratic state with clarity about coordination, about power, functions, and relations among the institutions to avoid duplication and confusion. Furthermore, global best practice indicates that one of the institutions in the package should be a constitutional body with power to enforce its decisions and perform a watchdog role. This is seen as necessary to prevent arbitrary government interference, protect its autonomy and reputation, and allow its wide effective power. The CGE has since its inception delivered on its mandate despite a host of challenges, mostly based on insufficient resources. We continue to insist that government should fulfill its obligations and prove its commitment to gender equality by providing sufficient resources to the gender machinery and to the CGE. We recognize that greater cooperation is needed between national gender machinery, NGOs, and other civil society organizations. Also, a stronger, more watchful, and more supportive women's movement and civil society will contribute to our quest for a more effective national machinery. In terms of the operations and programs, I wish to bring the following to your attention. The CGE now has offices in all 9 provinces, and each of the provincial offices have now been beefed up with core personnel in the form of researchers, legal, as well as education officers. This bodes well for our outreach efforts to both the South African citizenry and our partners who need our support in every part of the country. In this past year, our relations with partners have widened in scope and depth. We have engaged in collaborations with them both at the national, sub-regional, regional, and international level. In the year under review, CGE collaborated with key partners in the gender sector to host a number of successful workshops, campaigns, dialogues, and conferences on various topics. Highlights of these activities include a conference on ritual murder in Limpopo province, to a workshop to garner input on the SADC draft protocol on gender development, a precursor to the meeting of heads of state later this year that we expect to ratify this important instrument. The gender machinery and other interest groups participated in this exercise. Three, we've also had pre-conference summits that the CGE ran countrywide prior to the recent World Congress on Rural Women, and not only extended our reach, but they presented a unique opportunity for ordinary farm and rural women and men to have their own voices heard. We also had a very successful partnership with this committee where we participated during your hearing on the Equality Court and the implementation of that act at Limpopo and in Mpumalanga. And we would like to put on record, Chairperson, that we were very excited by this partnership, but we think it's high time now we plan a strategic partnership with this body. Because when we were interviewed during the review, there were some suggestions about the national gender machinery not being effective as it should be. And we want to invite this August body to say that it is high time now we meet together to plan and evaluate the national gender machinery. And this process has been started, and we don't want to start this process without your presence. We have advertised for tenders, and we have had interesting responses, but we cannot begin to interview those without your presence. And we hope when the time comes, we will all sit together to see how we can make this body as effective as it should. Institutional governance. Our organizational affairs were run on a sound basis. On the HR front, the CGE staff turnover improved relative to the previous year. We filled various positions, new and existing, both at management and lower levels. The provincial offices, which I referred to earlier, are almost fully capacitated. Overall, our staff complement has moved from 94 to 101 during the period under review. All this translates into a better resource CGE that can ably carry out a major part of its mandate. The status of CGE finances is also on a sound footing. Overall, we have managed to receive unqualified report. During this period, we had a qualification on staff leave. This has now been addressed through the revision of our leave system. On another related matter, we wish to bring to your attention, Chairperson, as an area of concern that has also been raised at other times, namely the budget process. The current process of budgeting and allocation, including the manner in which we approach the MTF presentation, continue to dog us. The recent development, Chairperson, is that the CGE cannot make its case directly to Treasury, but has to do so through the Department of Justice. This state of affairs has become untenable for a number of reasons. Including that we are not in a position to formally engage Treasury on our corporate plans and priorities that we feel only we can articulate firsthand. And we also feel our independence is compromised by the very process of relying on a second source, the Justice Department, to receive our annual allocation. As you know, Chairperson, due to this constraint, the CDE initiated some discussions around the budget allocation matter. We need to request that the said discussion be expedited and brought to a conclusion to ensure that inputs and recommendations we make receive the attention they deserve. Conclusion. Before I close, Chairperson, I wish to reiterate the commitment of the CGE. The biggest challenge of the CGE is being an institution responsible for monitoring gender transformation in a country that is itself still transforming. However, we are up to the challenge. The Commission on Gender Equality will ensure that the legacy of the struggles, waste and gains made by countless people shall be carried forward and strengthened. And the CDE will continue to monitor, introduce and lobby for interventions and improvements on South Africa's progress in achieving gender equality. May I take this opportunity to thank you, Chairperson, and members of the JLC for our relationship throughout the years. I wish you continued success in your very stable task, and I thank the Secretariat for their support, and wish my new colleagues a successful day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for giving us such a comprehensive background of the CDE and a good summary of your output, and also reminding us of your mandate as CDE. And I think I'm going to allow the CEO to go on with the budget in court, and then we can engage on this issue. Welcome, Honorable Nobu. Welcome, Honorable Makena. And I hope you are not too very hard to the lady next to you. I don't know. You might be giving help, but we are in a position to assist.
Chairperson of the JMC, Chairperson of the Commission on Gender Equality, Members of Parliament, Commissioners, Members of Senior Management from the Commission on Gender Equality, the representative from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, good morning. And thank you, Chair, for inviting the Commission on Gender Equality to come and make this presentation. In my presentation, I'll just try to really get onto the program to help you understand the kinds of programs that the Commission on Gender Equality runs as a way of trying to actually effectively fulfill the mandate in terms of the Act. I'll start by mentioning to you what is the vision of the Commission on Gender Equality is about. Our vision is to make society free from unlawful and unfair gender-based discrimination and oppression. We have distributed this document, the PowerPoint presentation. We still have some documents here. If people don't have them, please can we get them circulated. Our mission is promoting, protecting, monitoring, and evaluating gender equality in all social structures, continuously engaging in cooperative and visible partnerships with stakeholders at large, supporting democratic processes by facilitating gender equality as a goal. Constitutional mandate, I will not really go into it in detail because the Chairperson has actually clearly outlined our constitutional mandate in terms of the Commission on Gender Equality Act number 39 of 1996.
The strategic objective for the day as I leave you was to monitor and develop when necessary effective gender monitoring mechanisms for public and private institutions to ensure appropriate implementation of gender sensitive strategic policies and programs, to develop, manage and conduct information and education programs for the promotion and attainment of gender equality, evaluate and monitor Act of Parliament or any other law or treaties affecting or likely to affect gender equality or the status of women and make recommendations to Parliament with regard to this, and also to investigate any gender-related issues on its own accord, in our own accord, or upon receipt of complaints, and endeavor to resolve any disputes and rectify any act or omission. So basically, those strategic objectives were, as our objectives we annually put together, being guided by the mandate of the Commission and the Equality in terms of the Act. Our regular corporate activities are as follows: updating of principles, policies, rules and regulations of the Commission and the Equality. This is a policy document that was actually developed right at the initiating phase of the Commission and the Equality. It actually helps us to know and understand policies on day-to-day running of the Commission on Gender Equality. We also revisited our corporate governance charter, and we have actually also finalized the performance management system of the Commission on Gender Equality, which is a process that has really filled the process of restructuring the Commission on Gender Equality and skills audit. We now have the Employment Equity Committee. We now have skills development plan. We annually report to the Department of Labor, submitting the Employment Equity Plan of the Commission on Gender Equality. We have now in place a system that makes it possible for the staff of the Commission on Gender Equality to actually sign a performance contract annually. We have a performance appraisal system that is actually conducted. Previously, we used to do it annually, then we have changed to biannually, and we are hoping we will come to a situation where we manage to do quarterly appraisal. Other corporate activities are employment equity, risk management and fraud prevention, pension fund management, supply chain management. We now have a full document on supply chain management within the Commission on Gender Equality. Internal auditing is something that we actually also continue to do annually. We have now developed a system that actually helps us to manage to have internal audit tracking system, which is a system that has actually really helped us to now manage to, on a continuous basis throughout the year, to monitor the outcomes of the internal audit. We continue to have the audit committee running, which normally has 4 meetings per annum, and the special meetings whenever they need. The external audit also takes place annually. Currently, we have just actually made contact with the Auditor General that will be starting the external audit soon. Our strategic training sessions or workshops take place annually in the month of June. For now, we have postponed the one that was supposed to take place this month, which is June, because of the fact that the Commissioner has just arrived. We will have our strategic plan for the financial year 2008-2009 in July, in order for us to really be ready for the media action expenditure framework report for Treasury in August. And of course, what is contentious is what the chairperson has alluded to in terms of the fact that last year we have not been given an opportunity to go and make this presentation to Treasury. And it's something that we are actually working on with the Department of Justice. The
joint the Parliamentary Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development has actually also indicated intention to intervene in the matter, because as an independent body, a Chapter 9 institution, we are supposed to actually be given an opportunity to directly engage Treasury on our own plans and budgets in order for us to ensure that we manage to present our case, to ensure that in future, or for always, we will manage to have enough resources to do our work. We have actually conducted the internal review process, which is a process that was supposed to input into the process of the of Parliament that is headed by Professor Eichmann. This process was actually done with the assistance of what we call the Civil Society Advocacy Program of the European Union. And the last one, which is about our kind of corporate activities, is reporting to the Parliament, various parliamentary bodies. Human resources, the chair has actually indicated that we have really grown. Currently we have 101 staff members. If you look at where we come from 1999, we realize that there is really a very big difference in terms of the number of staff members that we've got and the number of offices, because at least now that we've got offices throughout the country in all provinces. This will actually improve the visibility of the commitment and the quality, which is something that the public has actually always been complaining about, with other provinces feeling that we're not really serving them well, because when they've got issues that they need to address with us as a commitment, then the quality used to be very difficult in the sense that we did not have offices running in those provinces. And of course, what is challenging is, if we've got offices, for example, if you go to KwaZulu-Natal, we will be establishing, we have an office established in Durban. But on a day-to-day basis, we still do realize that we have limited capacity to manage to really get to every place in the province to engage the province and the public on issues related to gender, something that is quite ideal. But then that's a challenge, and these are some of the things that we will continue to look at as we continue with our efforts towards developing the commitment and the equality. Maybe something like satellite offices in some places in future, depending on resources, is what we actually need to look at in order for us to manage to have a very viable outreach program for the commitment and the equality. Our financial resources, in the year under review, we were allocated 37.8 million. Currently, we have 39.7 million that was allocated to us from Treasury. The table just demonstrates how we have actually progressed in terms of the kinds of funding that we have received from Treasury over years. The table indicates Treasury allocation, donor funds we have received over years, and the kind of budget that we have put together over years as a Commission on Gender Equality, and what was the shortfall of the budget. And if we look at 1998, that is the second column on the right, you realize that right at the beginning we used to have a very huge shortfall, 11.4 million. But for now, 2007-2008, we have 3.9 million. It actually says that we have really managed to, with our engagement with Treasury, reduce the shortfall. And this is why we continue to feel that it's important for us to manage to engage Treasury directly, so that we can manage to articulate our needs and manage to convince Treasury of the kinds of allocations that need to be given to the commitment and the equality. The graph is just to show how we have actually progressed over years and our projections for the future. In terms of budget and personnel expenses, we have given an idea of how the money has been distributed between the commissioners and staff for 2007, 2008. The distribution of funding in terms of our
departments or our service areas within the Commission on Gender Equality, our main service areas being public education and information, legal services and research. But if you look at the mandate of the Commission on Gender Equality, basically our responsibility is to really sensitize the public of South Africa. We do a lot of legal service work in the form of complaints, submissions to parliament, and monitoring of national, sub-regional, regional and international human rights issues. We do a lot of research to inform ourselves about what's happening in the area of gender, and we also utilize research to monitor. So basically, that pie chart actually shows the distribution of funds according to the areas of service and the admin and support services within the Commission on Gender Equality. The program expenditure chart actually shows how the money is actually distributed and which areas are actually having much more funding. This is something that the CFO will talk to later. And then this also looks at the distribution that takes into consideration in terms of the total amount of funding. How much of that money actually ends up going into provinces, and this is why we've got the names of the provinces there to show that out of the money that has been distributed according to the program, out of the same amount of money, what would end up going to the provinces, and then the admin support also. Okay. This is about information on our external funders. Normally what we do is we continue to fundraise in order for us to try and cater for the shortfall, because the earlier table was actually indicating how much we budget for, how much treasury would give us, how much would be the shortfall. We normally cater for the shortfall from the money that we receive from donors. And that those are the donors that we pay in the previous financial year. Our programs, like I've indicated, we've got public education and information, research, legal services. Public education and information develops, manages, and conducts information and education programs, including workshops and campaigns for promotion and attainment of gender equality. And I would actually say that this is an area also that includes dialogues, it includes seminars, it includes hearings on issues of gender in order for us to actually continue to engage the public of South Africa on issues of gender and to promote sensitization. The research department undertakes monitoring and evaluation research in all provinces with regard to implementation and implication of legislation and gender policies and programs. Legal service department investigates gender-related issues on its own accord or upon the receipt of a complaint. The legal service department or area of work evaluates and monitors any act of parliament or any other law or treaty affecting or likely to affect gender equality or the status of women, and makes submissions to parliament with regard thereto. For the year under review, the kinds of work that are actually conducted by the research program were gender implications of widowhood. There has been a survey that actually was looking at the kinds of problems experienced by widows in South Africa. And mostly the United Nations Widows Charter was actually utilized by the process, because it's actually understood globally that there are specific kinds of problems that are actually experienced by women once they become widows. And indeed, we will be having a conference that's coming during the current financial year in September to take place in Limpopo on widowhood. The other research program was assessment of the capacity of the Department of Education in ensuring gender in school curriculum.
are utilizing the annual report card, which is a tool that we utilize for doing our wayfaring work. We have actually also the development of a gender barometer report for South Africa. This process is still continuing in order for us to actually manage to have a feel of what is happening in terms of gender transformation in South Africa. It has been a very challenging process because it's a process that depends on the kind of responses that we will actually have from government departments at local level, provincially and nationally. It has not really been very easy, and probably maybe if we could talk about it and even look at viable ways of actually making it possible that we access the necessary kind of information in order for us to conclude this report. And the report is not actually only looking at the three spheres of government, it's actually also looking at Parliament and Parliament's response in terms of gender transformation in South Africa. We've also conducted gender, HIV, AIDS, and the elderly survey. We have conducted country compliance monitoring through United Nations, the UN Commission on the Status of Women. We've looked at infusion of gender in national, sub-regional, regional, and international processes that are developing human rights treaties. And earlier the chair indicated that we actively participated in the SADC process of elevating the gender and development declaration into a protocol, a process that's still underway. Research department also conducted review of the national, or they have put in motion a process of reviewing the gender, the national gender machinery, and the chair actually indicated that we need to see how best we can fast track this process. It has not started yet, but we still believe that we have to continue with the process in order for it to really help us to manage to fine-tune the national gender machinery of South Africa. Most pervasive gender equality concerns in the year under review were femicide, rape, HIV/AIDS abuse, and sexual offences against boys and girls, domestic violence, lack of maintenance payment, and secondary victimization by the Department of Justice, teenage pregnancy, exploited boys, violence in schools, witch hunting, ritual murders, exploitation and financial abuse of widows and elderly people, offenses and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, sexual harassment and fair labor practice, bullying and abuse of women on all levels in the workplace, gender-based violence against people with disabilities. In terms of public education and information, now they can say that the table just indicates that we have managed to reach out to at least 1 million participants in the previous financial year throughout the country. Legal services, we have concluded what we call the complaint manual and procedure. This is a document that is very important in terms of how we handle the public complaints that we receive. Whenever people feel that they feel that they have been discriminated on the basis of gender, we have cases reported to us. And we were in the previous year fine-tuning the processes of actually dealing with complaints. What is a good outcome of this is that it actually then also outlines how the legal service department will be working with commissioners on all of those complaints, including how the cases are appealed and referrals. Legal Service Department also looked at the database of complaints and statistics developed. They looked at opinions and we continue to see submissions on media and advertising, which is a process that we do jointly with ASASA, the Advertising Standards Authority of South Africa. And of course, we continued with our submissions to Parliament on the bills, because whenever bills are discussed in Parliament, the Commission on Gender Equality
that continues to be submissions. Submissions that are actually done after we have consulted with the stakeholders, so that whenever we bring the submission to Parliament, we know what to do with the representatives of the sector. And this is the area of submission is one area that we think really need to fine tune the AMC also, in order for us to have some kind of an organized manner that actually could, on a continuous basis, manage to inform the AMC on what kind of submission we are actually bringing in as a commission on gender equality. The legal service department continues to do responses to online, written, telephonic, and walk-in inquiries and complaints. They continue to do national court coverage claims, legal research, court monitoring, and amicus. And those are the kinds of amicus cases that we were actually involved in the Shilobali matter, which is on chieftaincy. The pensionable age about a complaint on the basis of the fact that men feel discriminated upon because of the fact that the women is at a younger pensionable age than men, and the Masia matter, which was actually a matter that was heavily Masia matter that related to what was in the sexual offences bill. Though at the time the matter was taken, the Constitutional Court, the bill had not been passed by Parliament, and Madam Chair, we wish to actually express our gratitude as a Commission on Gender Equality for the fact that on the 25th of May, National Assembly has actually passed the sexual offences bill. The table is about the type of cases that we have handled and the total number of cases. We have entered in the year under review, we have handled a total of 407 cases. The column on the right actually indicates the type of cases that we have handled according to the provinces. And maybe what I need to say about cases is that most of the time, we find that most cases are actually maintenance-related cases. We have actually in the past as a Commission on Gender Equality conducted the Maintenance Act Implementation Study. And we have had recommendations coming out of this study that we have engaged the Department of Justice on. And we are hoping that this will actually help to continue to influence the necessary changes that are supposed to take place within the Department of Justice in order to improve the maintenance system of South Africa. That's the total number of complaints handled, and the total number of complaints handled. The kind of submissions that we made in the year under review, we made submissions on the impact of promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination. We made a submission to Parliament on equality legislation and institutions that promote democracy, on civil union bills, sexual offences amendment bill. Challenges emanating from the CGE Act dealing with entrenched gender inequality and patriarchy that distorts the gender code. And this is something that's very serious to us because it depends on how the whole issue of patriarchy would be handled in order for us to actually manage to get to where we want to go to. Because patriarchy is what actually promotes continuous attitudes towards anything that has got to do with gender transformation and the manner in which what structures like this would actually have what is being done by them being distorted. We still continue to be hopeful. And what makes us to be hopeful is that we have really made leaders, Madam Chair, in the sense that in South Africa today, we now have men as advocates of the cause of gender to say to us, we have progress. Even if we are aware that progress has not given us total results, we continue to be hopeful because of the other kinds of changes that are taking place within our society. Other challenges are the broad mandate, this is resource allocation. I've actually indicated as to what is actually also possibly have to be done in order for us to improve on our output strategy. The other challenge is structured relationship with the executive. in relation to budget for spending committee for chapter 9, and lastly, alignment of roles of the national and the national partners, which is something that's reflected in the outcome of the review process that we will look at. General challenges for the Commission on Gender Equality are monitoring implementation and enforcement by state agencies of laws passed by Parliament to eradicate gender discrimination, the assistance of dealing with maintenance, all this gender-based violence, etc. Because as a country, we have actually managed to put together good legislative framework, but implementation thereof continues to be a challenge, and continues now also to be seen as a challenge for a structuralized commission on gender equality. The other area of challenge is amendment of old statutes that still continue to violate the constitution and are discriminatory on the basis of gender. We do know that in some cases we have had some of the matters, like the bare matter that was mentioned at the Constitutional Court, that actually led to the process of repealing the Black Administration Act. We hope to see the same thing happening with other statutes of that nature. Availability and easy flow of information from the Department of Foreign Affairs to enable the Commission on Gender Equality to monitor sub-regional, regional, and international activities on gender-related treaties still continues to be a very big challenge, because when information comes from outside, from other, from structures that work with government on human rights issues, it comes in via Foreign Affairs. But the processes within Foreign Affairs are such that they don't actually just automatically send this information to the Commission on Gender Equality. The brief of Foreign Affairs is that they need to be sent to the OSW. So we depend on the OSW, whether the OSW will keep us informed at all times. And we found this to be a challenge, because in some cases we find that there are processes that are taking place. The Commission on Gender Equality is not fully informed about them, and therefore makes it impossible for us either to monitor those processes or to become part of such processes. What we see as general achievement is increased awareness of women's rights in South Africa, increased number of women asserting their rights and reporting crimes, increased participation of women in political decision making. We are quite pleased with progress that we are making. We know that we are not that yet in terms of the 50% representation of women in all tiers of society, but we do realize that our own government and parliament has actually managed to make quite a lot of progress looking at the kind of percentage we've got in terms of women representation in parliament, at cabinet level, and also representation of women in the provincial legislature. But we still hope that we will improve on that in order for us to manage to achieve the 50-50% principle goal. Other achievements are men becoming advocates of gender. International work that the Commission on Gender Equality has participated in the year that we use monitoring of international, regional, and sub-regional instruments and making substantive inputs into those processes. Participation and facilitation of the World Congress conferences. For this year, we have actually participated in the Commission on the Status of Women conferences, participated in the World Congress on Rural Women, like has actually indicated how we have actually participated in the provincial preparatory processes to actually help make the World Congress a reality for South African women. Other international work is participating in international meetings like Commonwealth and meetings of UN agencies, interaction with foreign delegations. We have facilitated with stakeholders the process of elevating Salih's gender and development protocol, like indicated earlier. Outreach and accessibility, we utilize our provincial offices in order for us to improve on our outreach. We have managed to, through outreach and accessibility, increase public outreach, increase in complaints successfully completed, strengthen relationships with local governments, increase collaborative work, which we actually take as very important. The whole issue of collaborative work, because with partnerships, we find that we manage to address our mandate in a cost-effective manner. Strategic impact that the Commission on Gender Equality has made, we have made impact on the policy and legislative framework and access to justice on government public sector programs and service delivery, on effectiveness of civil society, on identification and removal of discrimination practices. That gives us the end of the presentation, Madam Chair, on the budget and the programs of the Commission on Gender Equality, and I'd like to thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Now I plan to, I think we have covered the now, can we allow for questions of clarity and get into the subject if you don't know the name? My question would be, having listened that now that the CGE is now having the commissioner in all provinces, can maybe we be supplied with the names and the offices where they are, especially the two states province, because I don't see anything from that province. But I can see that there are activities that are still going on. The other question, Chairperson, will be now, what is the current situation in terms of the relationship of the CGE with provincial legislators? Maybe there is something that is happening. And then the last one, Chairperson, will be on page 24, the total complaints that are handled by the CGE is 407. And then the finalized is 153. What are the real challenges in terms of finalizing complaints? Because now you see there's a gap there of the other number, which is not yet finalized. And then the last one, which is linked to the very same one, will be, now that you are healthy, present 186 complaints from all 9 provinces, what happens to the other 68? Which makes it 407 complaint that you are handling. Because now I could see that 186 you are handling, and then 163 has been finalized, but there's a gap of 68. And then what happens to the station?
Thank you. I would like to thank the presenter so far and congratulate the Commission for taking care of civil society. For example, the Rural Green Act. to page 19, transformation, effect, gender transformation. I would just like to make mention of Middle Eastern these days. You know, a lot of reflection has been said about 16 days of activity. I remember when we promoted that it shouldn't be just 16 days, but it must go for the 365 days of the year. There was once a question, how do we see it? Is there any improvement on what is happening? For instance, let's say domestic violence, rape, human trafficking, etc. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm not yet very happy about what is happening. Yes, of course, much has been done, but still, it seems my vision when it comes to this rating is on daily, every day you hear about rape. Though you see the fact that it isn't as it used to be before. What worries me most now, we as mothers, as women, what are we saying about the killings, children killing one another, stabbing, you know, all that and the like, because it feels it's an instinct these days. Almost every day you hear the child has been killed, he has been sexed, and what, then, you know, even yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, it has been reported the day before and the other day. But now, what I'm saying, what are we saying? What steps can be done to stop that kind of violence in our schools? Thank you.
Can you deal with these two questions?
The question on which other commissioners who are based in provinces. The CGE has no provincial commissioner. All commissioners are national. They are national to such an extent that if this has gone according to plan, you would have had all the commissioners being based at the headquarters. But the problem was that this was not well communicated to the ad hoc committee that was interviewing the commissioner. And so we find that we could not endorse this plan because most of the commissioners said when they were interviewed, they were not given an indication that they would be based at the national office. However, we have worked at that problem, but in terms of responsibility, all commissioners are national. In this case, any commissioner, according to her skills, according to her expertise and experience, would be expected to go to a specific problem if that skill was needed in that. So we won't have a commissioner who is, I am a commissioner of the Western Cape, I am the commissioner of the Eastern Cape. Because even when you see from what you were interviewing, not all the provinces have commissioners. have people from those areas. Pumalanga, there's no one from Pumalanga. And this is a deputy, a chair, as you indicated. So that is how we are now operating. I'm happy as a doctor.
I would like to take the question on certain things for children, particularly the issue of the decision of the environment. I think there has to be a discussion around whether I should not achieve 100% what is the law talking about? And the evidence we haven't had time to fully engage with this issue. But I think it's important to differentiate between what a campaign is and what an approach and what we're trying to promote is. Three of them have been in every day of the year, and we're saying it's desirable that our society should be free of genetic violence every day of their lifetime. But would it be realistic to actually have a campaign that goes 365 days? Do we have the resources to do that? Will we have enough? Because the issue about the campaign is that you actually take up an issue and you pick up the momentum and mark and make sure that during that specific period you highlight a particular issue. Now it does not mean that for 359 days, that we are not talking about violence, gender-based violence. So I think this is one of the areas that the CCP and the JMC and other actors that we need to begin to talk about. Because the problem today is about how do we sensitize our society to systemic and endemic violence. How do we make sure that our children, our partners, all the men or women, our parents, are actually free and protected from systemic violence and endemic violence. But when people came up with 15 days of activism, the idea was, like, we're not saying the rest of the year is not important, but we're saying for these days, we'd like to have a program that is focused, that raises a whole range of issues. Now, as I said, the CGA hasn't had a discussion on this issue, but I think that it would be important for us to share ideas about this thing, to make sure that we don't lose the momentum, we don't lose the interest and the energy that goes with that. Because sometimes campaigns that go indefinitely do actually pick up, you know, and people become sensitized, you know, desensitized. You know, and so on. So these are some of the issues that we need to think about. What do we want, but also how do we get there? Now, we want everything of our lives to be free of violence, but how do we do that? Partly the different things of activism, my understanding, is one, not all, is one of the ways in which we can raise awareness in society about some of these issues. Thank you, Chef.
Okay, thank you.
I was mentioning the two chapters in the cultural dialect, which was raised, which I think is also a critical one. I think we need to admit that we still have problems for violence in our society. The not ask children in school, I think it mirrors what is happening in society. Road rage, violence against women, against children, violence in clubs, you know, even when people are supposed to be enjoying themselves, you know, violence is still part of that. And this is a psychosis that I think as a country we need to deal with. To what extent do we develop alternative dispute resolution mechanisms and cascade that down to our children? I think actually two cases, madam, yesterday of schools where the children are getting killed. And almost every week there's been cases of that nature. I think it's something too we need to be worried about as a society. To what extent, you know, we look at what is it that in Russia is this kind of culture in our children? You know, what is it that we can do as a society? And I don't think it's a phenomenon just in South Africa. I mean, one reads about what's happening in the UK in schools where children are simply unmanageable. Some of the teachers in the UK are saying, you complain about your children in South Africa, everybody don't know what, you know, Nazi things you can find in schools. In the US, we all know about the cases of the shooting. So I think it's a major problem that confronts society today. It's one that requires, I think, you know, major research in terms of what really the psychosis behind and how do we address that in a much more comprehensive way. I don't think that some of the cheap news that, you know, people raise in the radio talk show, you know, food security schools and whatever. I don't think that's the solution here. We're just dealing with the symptom. We need to get to the root of the problem. And for me, that is the major challenge that confronts all of us. I also think on the issue of youth, which has been raised by the honorable member, I must be grateful to the election panel that selected commissioner, because I think they've broken a record by appointing the youngest commissioner in the Commission on Gender Equality. That is to the woman from the Northern Cape. Very bright, and I think that in itself already is bringing new ideas, I think, in the commission with regard to the youth input on issues of gender. And I think that will obviously impact greatly on how we as a commission begin to broaden our work with regard to young people. But if one looks at the staff of the gender commission, I think, I don't know the ages of the people, but it's actually intergenerational, but on average, it's very young. Where the few OGs and many of us are still considered youth.
Marissa, you wanted to add on the balance, the education, and then go to the
program.
Okay,
thank you. I just want to report briefly on our progress with regard to research in education, which is motivated by the level of violence in schools. The research department of the Commission has commented on a systematic analysis of issues of gender in education. We started off with looking at how gender is included in the work of the National Education Department, as well as the Provincial Education Department. We conducted interviews with the union, teacher unions as well, and we attacked on the school level as well. We will probably move into the school level in this year. To do an assessment of the extent to which gender is understood in education and the extent to which gender is integrated in the curriculum, in teacher training, and in different levels, on different levels. For now, our assessment of the situation is that there is this junction between the understanding of issues of women, of gender equality, of gender-based violence, and of school-based violence. You will remember one of the issues included in the list of critical gender issues which the CEO has presented was boy-to-boy violence. For a long time, we've actually missed that particular point, which our research is now showing. Boy-to-boy violence is a crucial gender issue in our school. So we will begin to direct our research to that level as well. In addition to that, we are analyzing the kinds of programs that our children are exposed to in school. Awareness raising programs, empowerment programs for girls, for boys, a range of those programs. Just in brief to tell you that we are aware of the problem, it's an enormous problem. We're trying to do systematic research on the systemic issues that create and that lead to this kind of problem.
Good morning. I think I've been a bit covered in terms of what you said, but I agree that it is a systemic problem, and I think that the newspaper's report over this week is just basically a symptom of what is happening at our schools. More concern for me as a commissioner is the issue around the sexual harassment and sexual bullying that are taking place at this school, because I think that boy-to-boy violence is a major problem, but similarly, the issue of boys raping, sexually harassing, sexual bullying of girls and teachers here is I think it's a major concern, and there has been some research done to indicate that it's a major problem. Unfortunately, our schools don't have a policy on or don't have a program on sexual bullying and sexual harassment. So these things happen without any rules and regulations that are existing in the schools. So I think it's a major, major problem. And these reports that have been in the newspapers, I think are just symptoms of a very severe systemic violence problems that we are experiencing both in society, playing it itself out in the school level also. Thank you.
The commissioners and the province, the relationship of the CDE and the provincial legislators. We'll take what we can.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of what is the relationship of the CDE with the provincial legislature, I'll actually say that the manner in which the Commission on Gender Equality deals with the provinces is such that we have changed to the provinces what we do at national level. If you look at the national parliament, national assembly and NCOP, how we engage them, we'll continue to do that at provincial level. We do have meetings to the committees when the bills are actually being put together and discussed in parliament. There is also provincial legislation that's developed at provincial level. We'll do similar kinds of submissions at provincial level. The one thing that I would actually say is that we don't have a formal way of reporting to the provincial legislature like we do at national parliament level. But otherwise, whenever there are activities within the provincial legislatures that are gender related, the Commission on Gender Equality is actually invited by various provincial legislatures to come and input and participate in their processes.
Thank you. Commissioner Bafana would like to add.
Just one matter of concern, Chair, is that in most provincial legislatures, you still have the anomaly of what is called women's caucuses, which have no strong standing in parliamentary processes and budgets. And in instances where we relate to those structures, it's always a very tentative relationship. Because they themselves struggle to maintain their own committee processes, that it becomes difficult to relate to external bodies. We have proposed to most of these that it's better that they rather motivate for standing committees so that they have a legal framework and they can be part of the budgetary processes in the legislature, which is therefore give them a better footwork. But that process is not coming along as fast as it should, which minimizes, I think, the impact of the relationship and the level of much more coherence at provincial level.
I suppose the HOD on legal will tackle the questions on or complaints.
Thanks. Just to give you a brief echo
of where do the complaints emanate from. We all know that we have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution. We realize that the majority of the complaints is take on one of the rights in the Bill of Rights. There must have been a violation or dispute or disinterpretation in which the person was actually handled. So what actually happens here is we are aware that we take average, particularly in the work sector, there is a lot of sexual harassment still taking place there. Most workplaces we have sexual harassment policies, but they are not properly adhered to. So the unfinalized cases would actually be as a result of matters which are still being dealt with as a work cases in disciplinary hearings. There is this feature which has been drawn that 153 matters have been finalized. That is matters which were finalized at the end of the financial year ending March 2007. The matters being handled at present, the picture form, should have specified that those are the current matters which were picked up at during April 2007. Then it means the difference of 68 is matters being finalized in the current year. We could not have them added up to 153. Does it make sense to a certain extent? That is basically the information that I was going to share with you.
I just want to mention, in the case of youth, the question of youth being assaulted in the CGE, we have got an intern program as well, where we're taking in people, you know, on an intern basis, and it's quite successful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Of language and machinery. I think
think of the country, we think very proud of our whole legislation and our body around the nationalities of machinery. But somehow, in some way, I think that a lot of it now is just on a talk level. Mm-hmm. We have these instruments in place, but I am deeply concerned that they're not doing their job as they should. We're all very proud to go to the international level and talk about the national level of machinery. So I think that's certainly very important, and I think that this committee would particularly welcome both the interaction with the CDE and also some important factors to it. I think it's very important for all of us as proponents of gender equality in South Africa. Some actual questions, Chair, if I may. You talk about the effectiveness of your financial resources, but in the 2005-2006 financial statements, you actually have a surplus of over 2 million rand. Mm. So could you please just explain whether if you are given these additional resources, do you actually have the capacity to spend them? I think that's quite important. And then on the presentation that you were given, on your public education and information program, there was concerns raised about the language that is used in your program, that previously all your publications have been mainly in English, and Doug Carl, obviously that's not far reaching enough, particularly to rural women who are not done as well to sell the language, etc. But are you making an attempt to actually communicate with people in the language that they are most familiar with? And as far as your legal services are concerned, the impact that you have made in regard to legislation, parliamentary legislation, has your concerns been noted? Have you actually done any research into that? And how far reaching has your legislation been? You talked about the members of old statutes that violate the Constitution and are discriminatory on the basis of gender. And your impact on the which other parts of legislation are they still outstanding that are still discriminatory in nature as far as gender is concerned?
Thank you, Chair. I'm ready to my secretary from the green room. I apologize. So I'm saying I'm ready for my secretary from the green room. From doing both. Thank you, Chair. Well, thanks very much. Chair, we are 13 years old in this world. Our leaders. In 2010, we will be about 50. In 2012, we'll be 18 years old, 14 years old, 20 years old. And we were very fortunate country because when we took over as a new democratic country, 99% of our infrastructure was intact. Very fortunate for us. As compared to other countries in Africa. We're very lucky. So it means we did not start from the virtue. We didn't start from zero. It was a foundation to start from. Now what I'm trying to say is that I'm getting very worried at certain level sometimes when we look at the experience with change, the past, we still coach meetings and workshops and conferences and coaching. So the same things every time. Same things every time. Commissioner Kumalo, I put very encouraged about your analysis of the history of violence in our country. I was very encouraged. But then there is something else that leaders are not doing. There is something we are not doing. And this is not what we're not doing, all of us as leaders. We can't continuously rely on the opposition. We can't continuously rely on that. And we make policies, we make laws, we make legislation, we give it to official things. We can always let them know. And we go to meetings to boardrooms like now, we are in the boardrooms. And we can say the same thing. Now, I was talking to Kata Asma the other time, when he was still in Minister of Education. And I was saying to Kata, you know, sometimes we need to close all offices. Leave our cars, leave our bicycles, our motorbikes. Just take a walk on foot and go down out there, leave our boardrooms, put on our overalls and track suits. And just take a walk and go and find out what is it that is brought in the labor. Because you look at what we are doing in this parliament, very good policy, very good legislation, comparing legislation. Many advanced countries, they don't have this thing. But where does it go? Where does it end? You want to move up to this parliament like now, I'll be going to the conference sometime. You're going to fight nothing. But here we go, we come to work every day, every morning. We go to this meeting, we make this thing. Same good thing. But where does it go? Now what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we need to go out and find out what is wrong with our demand. Because you see, it's not enough for me to go to conference all the time, spend resources, make print documents, very nice things. At the end of the day, there's nothing that is happening out there. Where is real life? There's nothing. Where is real life? Indeed, there's nothing. For instance, I'm a rural guy, a rural boy. You look at this documentation of all of them, just Apple Buyer, they do something. 90% of these things are Apple Buyer. Because everyone would want to go to the mega center and become functional in the mega center. Nobody would want to walk in the street where there's no car roads, no one. So all of us, every time I'm in the village, I'm thinking of doing something, I'm thinking of going to Zobe. So there is something wrong with us, the way we do things, the way we function, the way we behave, there is something wrong. We are the most sophisticated country you can ever think of in our 53 states in Africa. Most sophisticated. But then what do we do? You complain about violence, women are violent, children are violent, blah, blah, this and that. And we are the most sophisticated country in the whole continent. In terms of infrastructure, I was in Maitland in the second session when Monitor trying to send them. They throw for the business for the kind of machines they have, the kind of technology they have. But you look at the level of crime in the Western countries, but the kind of technology they have, you can't find it anywhere in the country, let alone in the continent. But you look at the level of crime, shops. Because we are supposed to be going to missions to find out what's wrong with our monitoring mechanism. Not have to go to meetings and make new plans and new. They are there already. We need to be monitoring what's wrong with our monitoring system. What is making it so difficult for us to implement policies, to implement laws? What's wrong with us? The plans are there for 30 years. How many conferences did you go to? How many symposiums? How many resolutions did you pass? For how long? Without implementation. What's wrong with our implementation? Mechanism. Who is supposed to do what for us to be conscience of the fact that we need to live in life. We are still going to be faced with a lot of problems come 2010. The good things are coming down, the children are going to be here. We are still gathering here to complain about this for 13 years. When are we going to implement this policy? Still very nice laws. That's my one.
Thank you, Honorable. So, and you know, I wanted to say something. I think I'm going to say now that something wrong. I was just wondering, sitting here, that what is the relationship of the CPE with our constituency office?
Yeah.
You know, because we also are obliged to go down and disseminate information as a community. Maybe we should read on that and see what we can talk about in the later data machine. The other thing I wanted to look in again, and Honorable Chairperson, maybe someone from the finance can respond to this. The CPG received a qualified audit from the Auditor General for 2005-2006, am I right?
Yes.
Yes. And also, the vacancies, the post of a human resource manager has been vacated in 2015. Maybe can I get that response? And the other question I would like to know is, the CTE received a qualified audit from the auditor, and the CTE may be used to account for how it intends to deal with such incidents if it doesn't happen. Maybe they can respond to that. And the other thing I wanted to know is about Mpumalanga. I think that in the report, Mpumalanga doesn't have a CTE office. I don't know whether I'm making a mistake about Mpumalanga last time. And can somebody tell me that maybe we would like to establish one or what is happening, everything that has been done. The provincial workshops, all the provincial workshops that have been held, they don't tell us and specify really how many were held in this province. And also, what were they focusing on? What are the main focus of those workshops? And I also want to know why the discrepancy between the provinces. Let's say, for instance, in the Western Cape, 2003 or so attended, people attended that, and there's a difference, a vast difference between provinces, like other provinces, maybe. That is 2,000-something one for the Crusade, and in the Western Cape, Western Cape is very low, 100-something. Can someone explain to us? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask the CFO to tackle all the financial questions relating to finances, the qualified audit, the surplus and the percentage, the difference of percentages in provinces. Could you do those, please?
Thank you. Chair, I'm just going to run quickly through the report. What I'm going to basically give you is a clinical assessment of what has been done in order to rectify these kind of issues. Okay. I think the first one is when we're looking at the surplus which we have,
I inquired about this morning and I put mechanisms in place to return the specific fund, which was a surplus fund. Then, when we're looking at the qualification for leave pay, I've put in a system in place where we've got now a system where we can actually satisfy that requirement for the auditors, where we can actually prove to them that that is specifically the leave pay due and the specific amount. Okay, then when I'm looking at the vacancies for the HR, it was the HR department. There's, at the moment there's HR manager and there's administrator, so those positions have been filled. When I'm looking at the supply chain management, we've approved the supply chain management policy. And they are busy at the moment compiling a comprehensive database of all people, and we started to implement a balanced scorecard. Basically, but very much based on the government scorecard of black economic empowerment, when we're looking at the equity of women, and we're looking at disabled as one of the main components there. Okay. Then we're looking at the other issues, which are basically internal control issues. The first point is we've done an asset count at the year end. At the moment, we're busy implementing an electronic system and barcoding all the assets that are sitting there. Then we're looking at the issues, for instance, for checks which haven't been written back. Since I came there, all the old checks, reconciliations, everything has been written back. And we've basically, you know, I'm signing off all those reconciliations as well as the petty cash. Reconciliation. Every time they request it, we're working on an in-place system at the moment. Then I also basically review all journals. No journals are being passed with that. If anything's wrong, I'll be responsible and I'll be held accountable for that one. Declaration of interest. All the people, all the senior management, has basically done a declaration of interest. Okay, and it's currently being audited by the Auditor General. The travel, the issue of the travel form, where there were travel forms that didn't have documentation, since our basic can be all payments must have at least all the documentation, must have an order, and these normal payments must have an order, must have an invoice before that payment is being made, and they must make sure, especially when you've got the current payments, that there's proper reconciliation before the payment is being made. And then the contract which could not be found, I basically sorted out to make revamp the whole filing system. I have given it at the moment, the Auditor General is really auditing there, but I've already given them so far that that's much clearer. I hope that's the first thing.
Chairperson, I think that I asked the people to explain exactly why there was a surplus. Why a surplus in the city?
Thank you, Chair. The money that was actually identified as surplus was money that was actually accrued as money for space, which we were supposed to actually pay to Department of Labor, of Public Works. So this is part of the surplus, and the other part of the surplus was that we had budgeted also money for other posts of commissioners, because at the end of the previous financial year, 2005-2006, we didn't have road group of commissioners. We only, we had, I think, something like five positions vacant. So basically, most of the surplus came from those two areas. And maybe while still on the platform of speaking from the mic, I would actually also like to address the question about the website to say that if you open our website, you actually realize that certain sections are written still under reconstruction. For now, it doesn't really look too well because of the fact that we are reconstructing it. But I'm sure if you give us a few months, we'll actually come to the place where everything seems to be better. And about the capacity to utilize resources, I'll say that we do have the capacity of the Commission on Gender Equality to utilize resources. And there are a number of areas that still need to be upgraded. Talking about HR, we have since appointed an HR manager, which is something that was actually a debilitating in terms of human resources within HR, and that's why the qualification on leave. We have appointed the communications manager, we have appointed the communications office administrator, but that is still not enough. See, the CGE has really grown over a period of time, and we haven't actually, in some areas, managed to have the officers that are dedicated for certain responsibilities growing at the same pace as the structure is actually growing. So, indeed, we need to actually beef up more the HR division of the Commission on Gender Equality. We need to even beef up the IT division of the Commission on Gender Equality, because when we look at the two units, we find that, including communications, we find that they are being really overloaded in terms of the demands on those offices in relation to the office that has, the institution that has actually grown over time. So basically, I would actually say that we do have the ability and capacity to utilize the resources. And what actually clearly explains it is the time to the table that we've got that actually indicates the kinds of shortfalls we've had over years, to indicate that normally what we would do would be to budget and find that what is allocated to us is below the budget that we had, which most of the time we had to actually address the shortfall thereof through money that we had to actually solicit from the outside funders. And indeed, the issue of translation is still challenging. The Commission on Gender Equality up to now has actually really managed to have a lot of publications. And it's a lot of publications that are about the work that we have done as the Commission on Gender Equality. It's a lot of publications about the research that we have done for the Commission on Gender Equality, research that informs monitoring within the Commission on Gender Equality, and also work on the pamphlet posters, leaflets, training material that we have developed over time as the Commission on Gender Equality. And now it's really indeed indicated it's very important. In some areas we have managed to translate some of the smaller documents, but we have not really managed to, every time we publish, to publish in all the languages and even include braille. And one other thing that has actually put us in this situation is that also sometimes we look at the resources that we've got to do a particular project, and it's something that has been guiding a process of this nature, but I do really acknowledge the fact that living in South Africa with so many languages, as a diverse country, we must actually continue to try and make it a point that as we develop material, we develop material that will be suitable for all languages. Something that we will continue to get. But what is encouraging, and that's something that addresses the whole issue of whether we are really reaching out to the people on the ground or not, is that in every province, our selection criteria for staff of the CGE is such that it takes into consideration knowledge and understanding of the language of the province. So we might be going to these workshops with material probably that is written in English, but when we talk to the people in the province, we talk to them in their own language. And that's something that we can actually say confidently we are doing. And sometimes we look sophisticated as we're sitting around the table like this, but I must say that most of the commissioners were activists themselves. And it therefore means that they do understand the people on the ground, the dynamics that are happening in this country. And of course, like we are saying, we are aware of the fact that we are established in all provinces. Our offices are in all the main cities and towns in the provinces, but indeed as a Commission on Gender Equality, we still are looking at strategies of really managing to have a much more accessible kind of a strategy, a reach out, an outreach program. That's why earlier we mentioned a possibility, depending on resources, of course, on maybe having some kind of satellite offices, to really manage to set up offices in all possible areas, in local government areas. And then Mpumalanga office, Madam Chair, you're saying, in this report we don't have Mpumalanga office, indeed, because the office had not been established yet at the time. But the next annual report will also reflect Mpumalanga. It will reflect Gauteng, which are the two last offices that we have established as a commission in the country. Tradition and culture, I'm not sure how the text is written. But you know, within the Commission on Gender Equality, we actually handle our work in such a way that we divide it into themes. We have a theme on democracy and good governance. We've got a theme on gender-based violence. We've got a theme on poverty. We've got a theme on culture, tradition, and religion. So basically, I think the question is actually around that theme and our approach towards our work on gender in terms of culture, tradition, and religion, to look at the implications of the theme in relation to gender and gender transformation in South Africa.
Commissioner,
I'm not sure whether Honorable Noma is fully answered by that. But I would like to maybe throw in my two kinds of thoughts here and say that I think this is an area that we need to look at. Exactly what is it that when we talk about tradition, what is it that we talk about when we talk about cultural practices and religion? Because sometimes we tend to use them interchangeably. And these are actually very serious conceptual issues. So I would appeal that just maybe should be something that we can flag as an area that we might want to revisit when we're looking at how we develop our things and how we classify the work that we do. The second question that I'd like to respond to, I acknowledge the sense of frustration that the honorable member is expressing about what appears to be endless discussion and without practice. But I think it's also very important that we should also acknowledge the fact that practice without thinking is also important. And of course, when we meet in voting, we need to talk. But where it will become a problem is if all we do is talk. And from the presentation that has been made by the CEO and the report here, it appears that talk is not the only thing that this commission does. The jury is still out, of course, whether if you were to send out independent evaluators, whether we find that the talk actually matches the work. But I would like to say these are some of the areas that, again, I think we also flag to say in this kind of area, these are the kinds of actions that we would like to see. And this is how we think it would satisfy us. And as we suggested that we'd like to have a conversation of mutual benefit, perhaps we can retain the idea around that. The issue of the issue of somebody has just spoken now and discussing the issue of law, I think it was the honorable Sambo who asked which law would deliver some spark, I would imagine. And I'm sure even you as parliament wouldn't actually be able to say these are the laws that we need to change in terms of social economy, in terms of gender and so on. I'm coming to that. I think what would be important is for the CGE, again this is going forward, to work with the Law Review Commission. And because there are laws, they actually what is written in the statute, the very premise of South African law, which is that a Roman national, is in itself problematic.
And every time you go through a case, whether you are dealing with issues of inheritance, for example, issues of inheritance, that is one law that I would say, without any fear of connotation, is a critical area in terms of gender. So my suggestion would be that we flag this issue, and then we can find a way of doing the set that actually does an audit of the legal framework. Because it's not only the actual legislation, it is also it's the interpretation of law itself. And this deals with a whole range of issues, for example, when you talk about rape, there's a whole range of issues that have changed, and there's a whole range of issues of legal issues, like the cautionary clause, for example. You know, in one instance, you find that it's a change, but in another instance, you find that it has not changed. So my suggestion would be that going forward, the CJ would need to think about how we can do audits of all issues relating to the legal framework. And the ones that deal with customary law and business law, modern customary law, are always the easiest to identify. But you find beneath the surface, there's a whole range of laws that continue to undermine the very sense of transition. At last count, in 2002, the Law Review Commission said there are at least about 899 laws, pieces of legislation, that are in direct conflict with the spirit of the Constitution. So I think we are dealing with a very serious kind of issue, which I think would need a clear, dedicated focus on this. Thank you.
Commissioner Kumalo and then Marie.
On the issue of language, I just wanted to add that we also do interviews on radio, and these are usually in non-English speaking radio. And as we all know, radio reaches far more than the French media. And I think that's something to talk about. The honorable proposed question is a very worrying one for all of us, I think. I just wanted to add also my two cents worth. I like what the president does with his legislation, because I think that's the way to really go about it. It's not just putting legislation in place, it's not just putting monitoring and evaluation processes, because even that is still paper. You know, when the president goes and speaks to people and people tell him what they are experiencing, how these things are impacting on their lives. And I like the way he does it when he calls people to say, people are asking about what have you done? So that people account publicly and they can say why is that they have done. So I think we need to encourage that if it can be spread to all other aspects of delivery, I think we'll see things there. So unless we do that, we will get this closer report and go to conferences and produce nice research, but less little will be seen out of all of this.
Discriminatory legislation seems quite good to that one as well. What we are doing currently is to look at specific social categories or groups or issues and then identify discriminatory laws from the point of view, for instance, or through the experience, for instance, of widows, of elderly people, or with regard to a team or a topic such as a context of HIV. So for now, this is how we approach the identification of discriminatory legislation through the education process. Second point on the issue of language, if I can just relate to experiences in the past in the dissemination of information on research, which is typically not written in ordinary understandable language, but two researchers have written their report. But as was indicated, the information was taken to the provincial level, where groups of people come together and the discussions are very clearly in English. So this is a way for us, instead of translating research documents, but to disseminate the information and deliberate on the findings and recommendations in the local language.
Thank you.
Jefferson, I really welcome your question on what would be the relationship between CGE and your constituency office. And earlier on, I spoke about CGE and JMC planning strategic partnerships now, where we could really have our various mandates, carry them out effectively. And I see this is another way where CGE, not just the hearing that we are having and inviting us there, but how both of us could be strategic on those issues, because we would reach those very groups that may not be reachable through your constituency offices and through our provincial offices. And I think it's some area that we would be perfect to work on and have proper coordination.
Thank you very much, Sokwe.
What was the last one you doing?
Then you said the purpose of
people. I just want to speak on two issues.
By Commissioner
Gaza.
Yes,
Gaza. Okay. And the CE. Something with regard to, let me start with this one first. Sometimes, when we say we have offices in this area, the next question to follow will be accessibility. So our offices, are they accessible to ordinary people, people with disabilities, and their resources, without any details? Because I remember we went to housing the other time, and it was this office on the second floor. And you can imagine what is the need for the nation. What's going to happen in school? A person with sugar that teaches. Are they accessible to this office? So, an ordinary person would be able to help you for yourself. Question number two. Is it possible for us to also look into when it comes to issues of culture? Is it possible to look into whether there is adequate information with regard to traditional culture when it comes to, especially in the rural areas, even up to now, the most effective authorities seem to be the kings and the queens. If we can look into as to how can we strengthen this tradition of course. Because see, the way just system is as it stands, it's only meant for the rich. I mean, those who have got the resources, they can be able to reach a lawyer to the church. Now if I'm coming from Dragons and Mountains on top, the other side of the mountain, not quite reach the next police station. I mean, it's quite difficult. In the past, in Transkei, the old Transkei, you people who were with means of survival, of living, were selling that. You see them laughing at the police because they were using this Western style of policing and it couldn't work. Like in Little Mountains, it couldn't work. You go there on horseback, you go there riding 4x4 motorbikes. They go down the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, you come down, they are up. They are laughing at you. Because you are using very strange ways of policing. That's the way in those areas. And there are traditional ways, indigenous ways of doing this thing, including traditional courts. So we must begin to look into this issue. This is adequate information for the local issues for this kind of thing. Can you also look into that and how do you utilize traditional cause to deal with issues of culture when it comes to issues of inheritance? In how does it affect gender? Things like that. Because you cannot rely on it. Because, you see, when you are facing a problem, the good thing about that, once you are facing a particular problem, even though you go to Australia or New Zealand or Canada, go and make research. You come and compare. You can't do that with people in Brooklyn. And you think Australian style of doing things can work. No one.
forget it. And if I don't want to see those two things,
then they have set their mouth for you.
And before Mabilaga becomes,
you know, I told you the second thing of prayer.
I'm very worried about this. I think it's one of the things we should talk about.
And
how far have we gone with the status and development issues? The last time I was with you people, you were going to Botswana. The next week I had to go to Zambia. Why don't we make our round table here and get things going and decide on it? Because I think if you check on our SMTs, on our program until the end of the year, we don't have many meetings this year. And our intention is to deal with this year in Parliament in a way. Because one of the things that came out from that roundtable is how we interact with the executive and they go and make these decisions somewhere else and then they don't become the committee that is supposed to be monitoring. And that is one of the things I think we're going to be doing. I think we should robustly attend. I just wanted to highlight it. Well, as a member of this committee, some of the things I would like to be enlightened, because I'm here representing the community, looking for more citizens. From the vice report, it has been mentioned something like gender indication of widows. I'm lost.
Okay.
And two, the witch hunting, I'm beginning to doubt myself whether do I understand it very well, witch hunting. Then I say, which one is the people of Limpopo so much?
Witch hunting? I don't know. I don't think that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
This is why I said, I mean, we need to travel to the sinner. But except that, I can get something from this handy. But last time when we were at Limpopo, the problem, on an oversight, much has been said about witchcraft, where old ladies are killed because once you have wrinkles, they believe that you are the
person. That's why
they then, you know, they believe that we are the witchcraft. But I'm worried because it never doesn't apply to old men, you know. Then this is why I'm making mention of this.
Thank you,
Honorable.
hello, Anne. In actual fact, I thought we were going to stop at 1:30. It's already and some of our members here would like to, before we have an energy room, I think I would have to do a short summary. You see, already we are talking about the commissioner, that is the one achieving it. And the second thing I want to speak about when I do my summary is the regular communication of these two commissioners. I would have to remind the chairperson at one stage we were in Pretoria. I was talking about overlap, and he corrected it. And he said, no, it wasn't the overlap of the commission. But I think he spoke about it when you were talking about the UN report that he was doing that when he went to that. And then that means we have to meet regularly as the nation and nation to avoid this. The other thing is that the national gender machinery, the main thing that I said about it, they say it's 2 1, and I think we have to start empowering that national gender. Now that we have a full complement of commissioners and we have the committee in parliament that has to monitor the legislation. And from what came out of this meeting today, I think it's step number one. And we have identified our gaps. And we are intending to fill those gaps from here. And I thank Mr. Kruger. I wanted to say Godfrey, but I forgot his name. And from what he said to us, we are hoping that we are going to have a good financial statement. But also, I would like to say to you all the things that you said, if you could have it on please. Yeah. Because these are the things we ought to stand up in parliament and talk about. It would be good for us to have that information. Otherwise, thank you to everyone. Thanks to CCE and those new commissioners that are not here. Tell them that they need a lot. Nevertheless, we welcome them to the I would like to say, for now we are going to go on with our mission. We may release the CCD so that we can start a few things to go on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of my team, I also want to thank this committee and yourself in particular. You have been very, very keen to have us meet with you. And there were constant telephone calls between us. And I just want to say, we really regard this relationship very important here. And we think it's crucial for the strength of the NGN. And we thank you for giving us this time. And I just like to say to Commissioner Zidalala, that if you want more information about the gender nature of widowhood, we invite you all to our conference on widowhood that will be held then.
19th of September.
Okay. In the
Popo.
We will send
in the
Popo. Yeah. Is it in the Popo?
Probably. It's not a student, but it will be.
We will send you invitations.
Send them for.
We will send you invitations. And we hope some of you will be able to attend. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.